Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of your Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your daily podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team, the Charlotte Hornets. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us once again here on the HHC, a winning edition, badly needed 1-2. Hornets score a 108-102 win over Cleveland, avoid the sweep from the Cavs, which would have been very frustrating considering Cleveland is 17 games below 500. But the Hornets have been dealing with a lot of frustrations lately. They've lost 6 of 7, still dealing with a ton of injuries, but they managed to find a way to get a W last night. We'll break it down from every which way. Also going to talk about the best dunker in the game. And, of course, is Miles Bridges getting a lot of national love? We'll talk about that. And we've been talking about this all week, the Innovation Summit. Well, it wrapped yesterday. Last night, our champion was crowned, and we will introduce you to her, Brandy Long, and her new product, the Jerse. You can hear all about it coming up here on the Hornets Hivecast. But first off, we got to break down this win, and to help me do it, my producer, Rob Longo, from the Hornets Radio Network here with us. Rob, big win for the team, 108-102. The team, quite frankly, has not been playing very good offensively. They have been south of 100 points in 4 of their last 7 games, including last night. Last night they did get north of it, but 4 of the last 7 games, they have failed to reach 100 points. They're 0-10 this year when they don't make it to 100, so that's a serious problem. Last night they managed to do it despite the fact that 2 of their best offensive weapons, Devontae Graham and Terry Rozier, combined to go 4-for-21 from 3, and yet they still managed to find a way to a victory, a big character win for the team, and a big overall win, taking the magic number now down to 10.
And a lot of it has to do with the play of P.J. Washington and Miles Bridges. Miles has been just unreal this stretch of games for the past week or so when he's been having to kind of take over the starting lineup because of the lack of offense. He finishes with 25 and 10 last night, and Terry did only go 9 for 20 from the floor, but he did end up with 25 points. But the biggest key, of course, was the turnover battle. 17 turnovers for Cleveland, only 5 on the other side for the Hornets. That is the lowest of the season for Charlotte, and 5 is the fewest since February 28th. That was back in 2020. At Toronto, that was a 99-96 win for the Hornets. And coincidentally enough, I looked this up around halftime of last night's game. The Hornets were 3-4 this season when they have single-digit turnovers, which I thought was really interesting. And a couple of those were the blowouts like we saw against Boston a couple of weeks ago. And that was the fewest turnovers that the Hornets have had this season with 6. So just a little factoid, back to 500 in that category. But all in all, taking care of the basketball takes care of itself.
Yeah, I'm just spitballing here, but I would guess some of those games where they lost with low turnover rates, maybe it's a game where it's such a blowout that the defense is not taking chances on the other side. They're just saying, hey, you can't keep up with us offensively, so take your shots, we'll take ours, and we'll call it a day. This was a night where the Hornets had the pressure on them from Cleveland, who is a pretty good defensive team in that regard, enforcing turnovers, but Charlotte walloped them, and it showed in the shooting charts. Hornets didn't shoot the ball very well, 42% from the floor, Cleveland 51%, but the Hornets attempted 14 more shots in the game. So even though Cleveland took fewer and made more shots, the Hornets got such a great volume that they were able to overcome it to a 108-102 victory. JB talked afterwards about how much of the team's character was revealed with this win.
Yeah, that was huge. I thought, you know, all three, we needed every point out there tonight. And that's just the way it's going to be. You know, we need every bucket, every point, every free throw to squeeze these wins out. And all three guys gave us great effort. So overall, you know, we did not shoot it great. You know, 42%, 14 of 40 from 3. I believe those shots will go in. You know, Tay was 2 for 13 from 3. I believe those will start to turn in our direction. So we got to keep shooting it, keep believing it's going in. But really proud of our guys, just the mentality not to give in. We could have easily given in there. We were not scoring it. They were making some shots, and we just stuck with it. So this was a gutty win, a character win, a resilient win. Our guys deserve that.
I think there will be much, much better days ahead for the Hornets. This is now 3 games in a row where the offense just does not look quite right. In particular, Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham struggling with their shot. The other night in Chicago, Devontae scored 16 points, but only on 3 of 11 shooting from 3. Terry had 11 points on 1 of 6 from 3. So this is back-to-back games where neither of them really shot all that efficiently, but they're able to get a win over Cleveland. They're going to need to shoot better in the future, but I think it does reveal your character and what you're capable of as a team when one of your best attributes, three-point shooting, is not going your way and you still manage to get a W.
Well, I think it all goes back to maybe some sort of law of averages, right? I don't think you're going to have Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham go on this dry spell for the rest of the season. It's just unfortunate that it's happening at the same time. Obviously, like some balance there and have one be on a hot streak while the other one might be a little bit cold, but the fact that they're both cold, maybe they'll both get hot at the same time as well, but this is a resilient win. I know JB overuses that word and it's a little bit cliche, but it felt like a resilient win. We talked about it on the postgame show last night about how it felt like going into the fourth quarter, the game was tied 78-78. At that point, though, it felt like it was almost like a playoff game. The Hornets only went with an 8-person rotation. They shortened the bench. They went with the experienced guys. JB talked about how he just felt like that was the move at that point. And I think it showed because, again, this Cleveland team is going to be really good in a couple of years. They got a lot of young talent. Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, they're going to be a very dangerous backcourt. Give them about 2 years, if that. And then you got a guy like Jared Allen that they can throw the ball up to at 6'11". They're going to be dangerous, but at any rate, back to the Hornets, it's one of those resilient wins that just ends up maybe meaning a little bit more in the locker room after a win like that.
Well, it was certainly badly needed. The team had lost 6 of 7. They're looking ahead at 2 games with the Celtics, bookending a matchup with Milwaukee. None of those are going to be easy games, and coming down the stretch, Hornets need to find some W's here, so this was a big one. Gets them to 29-30. While I think the bench did a good job of holding serve out there, I credit the starting five for this one, in particular PJ Washington.
Rejects the screen, raises inside, throws cross court, corner three for Washington, is good! PJ Washington ripped the net cord, 21 for PJ, and the Hornets are on top, 81-78.
First start for PJ in almost 2 weeks, a little over 10 days. And he's caught some flack over the course of the season on social media and whatnot for, you know, sometimes he just has an off day shooting. But what he brings to the team, I think, is really invaluable. I've said it a couple of times. He is the square peg for a square hole, and there are not any other square pegs on this team. No one else really brings his shot blocking and his shot making and his size. That, you know, there's other guys that can do pieces of that. No one seems to be able to do the combination the way P.J. Washington has, and it shows. He gets back in the starting lineup. They score a win. Team is now 27-22 when he starts. They are 2-8 when he does not. P.J. Washington, big key to the victory here for the Hornets. Back in the win column, 108-102. Magic number to make the play-in tournament at minimum, Rob. It's down to 10 with 13 games left to go on the season. 9 of the next 11 will be at Spectrum Center. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. Go to Hornets.com for all your ticket information. Coming up next, all week long, we've been talking to you about the Innovation Summit. Well, last night we crowned our champion at halftime of the win over the Cavs, Brandy Long. Her incredible, innovative, and stylish product, the Jurse, won the competition and a $15,000 investment from the Hornets. Brandy joins us next to talk about her experience and her business right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Hornets fans, during the month of April, the Charlotte Hornets and their official hunger relief partner, Food Lion Feeds, are launching the 2021 Dunk Hunger Food Drive to benefit Second Harvest Food Bank of Metrolina.
The Bridges, who throws it down with a right hand.
For every Hornets dunk this month,
slams it down with two hands.
Food Lion will donate 1,000 meals.
Terry Rozier throws it down over Kevin Durant.
For more information on how you can help Food Lion and the Hornets dunk hunger, visit Hornets.com/dunkhunger.
Right now here on the Hornets Hivecast, we want to talk a little bit more about the Innovation Summit. If you were at last night's game when the Hornets took on the Cavs, you might have noticed at halftime we announced the winner of the Innovation Summit, which was launched on Martin Luther King Day as part of the Hornets Social Justice Plan. It was a competition, kind of Shark Tank style, open to minority business owners within 150-mile radius of Spectrum Center. We received nearly 150 applications in 2 weeks, and in the second round, 20 semifinalists received 50,000 fan votes. So we had great participation both from businesses and from fans.
There were great prizes for everyone involved because everyone who applied received a year of free resources from the Lonely Entrepreneur. But there was only going to be one winner who was going to receive a $15,000 investment from the Hornets. And we have that winner with us today. Her name is Brandy Long, and she's making her debut here on the Hornets Hivecast. Brandy, congratulations on the win and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so appreciative for this opportunity.
Well, we are glad to have you here. There was such a wide array of businesses and products with great ideas, things like connecting aspiring healthcare workers with mentors who are already established in the field to a coffee company. And then there were some great products across the board and consulting ideas. But you came away on top with your product, the Jurse, which had one of the most impressive presentations. Tell us about your product.
So the Jurse is a patented 2-in-1 jacket and purse that transitions in less than 30 seconds. It's where fashion meets convenience. Our biggest hassle is our jacket because most of the time we don't need it, and then there's nowhere to place it, and we're stuck holding it.
And you said less than 30 seconds. That's for normal humans, because I saw you in your presentation, and we could have put the 24-second shot clock on it. That would have been no problem. I think the 8-second backcourt violation might have been a challenge for you, but I still think you could do it.
I think so.
How did you come up with the idea? It's not like a poncho-style jacket. It's actually like a leather jacket, a fashionable jacket, that makes that complete conversion from jacket to purse and purse to jacket in just seconds. How did you come up with your product?
You know, I love the downtown area, and most downtown areas are similar. It was cold, December, and I needed my jacket, but once I got to the restaurant, I actually really didn't need the jacket. I got warm. So I was stuck holding a drink in my hand, my jacket, and my purse. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. Like, when you go somewhere and you go out, you really want to enjoy yourself. You don't want that hassle. And from that point forward, I was like, I've got to come up with a solution. Why has no one created a fashionable jacket that's hassle-free?
It's a great idea. It's a winning idea. You get the $15,000 investment for winning the Innovation Summit. What are you going to do with the $15,000?
I plan on trademarking the actual word Jurse because it's so cool because, you know, you hear people saying the Jurse and you like literally made this word up. So I'm definitely going to trademark that name. Also, I'm going to increase my bulk order so that I can actually decrease the monetary value to the consumer. That's been a big obstacle. The unit prices were extremely expensive. I'm also going to use for advertisement. I've really only touched a few thousand people with my small advertising. I want everyone to see it. I'm so excited about it. So advertising will definitely be another portion of it as well.
And that's one thing that the Hornets, I know, were hoping to help all of the small businesses involved achieve through the Innovation Summit, get some of the power of the Hornets social media behind some of these local businesses, including your own. But as you mentioned, you know, word of mouth is one thing, but getting the word out is the most important thing when you're launching a company. How can people learn more and maybe support what you're doing, either by shopping in person at particular stores locally here in the Queen City area or online?
You can actually access it online at B Long Fashion, and it's BLONGFASHION.com. Everything, all the sales are online. You can also access my Facebook page, the B.Long Collection, as well, to kind of keep in touch with the things that we're doing and the things that we're doing in the community as well.
For your business, what has this process meant to you? Like, have you seen a jump in productivity, in sales from when you started with your application to now?
Yes, actually yesterday after the pitches, like, you know, the sales and the visitors on the website just like skyrocketed.
That's spectacular. Now, I know from talking to you off air, there was some hesitancy about the whole process, about applying in the first place, about your confidence going into it on it being your first pitch, and you're talking to some major, major judges, key titans of industry here locally with national names. Having now gone through the process, would you encourage others to apply for future innovation summits, or what advice would you have for any up-and-coming aspiring entrepreneur?
I would say step out of your comfort zone. The sky is the absolute limit. And if you limit yourself, or if you don't ask questions, or if you don't step outside the box, the answer is always no. And you'll always be left with the question of shoulda, coulda, woulda, what would have happened. Just step out of your comfort zone and just make it happen.
It's such wonderful advice. I'm so thankful that we got the chance to meet you and learn about you and your company and your product. It's called the JERS, and it's the winning idea from the first Innovation Summit. Brandy, thanks so much for sharing your product. Congratulations on winning, and thanks again for being here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. You guys have no idea how grateful and appreciative I am of this.
It is our pleasure. Thank you, Brandy.
Thank you.
Cody Zeller knows how to finish an assist. Now you can be a part of one of his biggest plays of the season. Socks are the most under-donated item for those in need, and the Cody Zeller Sock Drive presented by Hanes is ready to attack that problem. You can help make socks a priority by donating one pack of new socks or $5 to the Cody Zeller Sock Drive, and all donations will be matched by Hanes and will benefit Roof Above. Head to Hornets.com and search Cody Zeller Sock Drive for more information. Congratulations again to Brandy Long for winning the first ever Innovation Summit with her wonderful product, the JERS. If you want more information on the Innovation Summit or Brandy or any of the other entrepreneurs who entered the Innovation Summit, check out the Hornets YouTube page or any of its social media pages. And of course, Hornets.com has all the info for you. Going back to last night's game, Miles Bridges, another big performance for Charlotte. They needed it. He ends up with 25 points and 10 rebounds, a double-double. And on the dunking side, well, he did it again.
Rozier probing, feeds Devontae Graham. Nice pass underneath, and Miles Bridges will throw it down with two hands. The best dunker in the NBA off a perfect feed from Devontae Graham.
And that best dunker in the NBA moniker, that's just not my opinion. That is a national opinion now. Stephen A. Smith weighing in on his ESPN show in the last 48 hours.
How do you do? Anthony Simons is the reigning NBA dunk champion, winning the contest last month at All-Star Weekend. With all due respect, absolutely no one thinks Simons is the best dunker in the National Basketball Association right now. In fact, why even have a dunk contest when you can just have Miles Bridges put on a show all by his damn self? Miles Bridges is the new NBA dunk king. That's right, I said it. The poster dunk king. Do people still have posters, by the way? I don't really know. But then Miles Bridges is the king of dunk YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Top Shot, whatever. All I know is that when Miles Bridges takes off, everybody else on the court better get the hell out of the way. Get out of the way and watch the show. Look at this. He's got one of these almost every night. Miles Bridges is without question the best dunker in the NBA today. And believe it or not, I actually think Miles Bridges can rival anyone in history when it comes to in-game dunking. That includes Vince Carter. That includes Kobe. That includes Michael Jordan. That includes Dominique. Miles Bridges, right now, looks like he's that good.
I hesitate to disagree with Stephen A. and all the national clout he comes with, but I will say this. While he is the best dunker in the game today, I have no doubt about that, and a great appreciation to ESPN for using some of our calls, both mine here from the Hornets Radio Network as well as Eric Collins from Bally Sports South as a part of their montage, and even the opening quote you heard there from Stephen A. is an ode to EC. But it's not the dunks Miles does, it's who he does them against and when he does them that is going to determine whether or not he ends up on the Mount Rushmore of in-game dunks. He's already got the spectacular top 10, number one all-time type of dunks that everyone that was mentioned by Stephen A. has. It's, can he do it in playoff games? Can he do it routinely in national TV games? And those opportunities are going to start to come because his game is growing and the Hornets games are growing. But I think to join the ranks of Jordan and Dominique and Vince Carter, it has to be on playoff teams. And thankfully, Miles' all-around game is growing and should give him more opportunity to have
those dunks and those types of scenarios.
All of that stuff will come in time. I mean, everything takes time. It's only his third season in the NBA. He's already starting to develop some other facets of his game that make him multi-dimensional. It's not like when Blake Griffin first came out and he just was throwing down dunks all over people and just being a rim protector. Miles does a lot more than that, and it's really impressive, and I think we've seen a lot of that on display the past couple of weeks since he's been moved into that starting role out of necessity because of all of the injuries. His three-point shot looks really good. His ball handling skills are really good as well. He almost dropped somebody last night. I forget exactly who it was, but he just couldn't quite bury the three, and if he would have buried the three, that play probably would have been on the highlight shows in the top 10 format later last night. So he has the tools, and he has a lot of talent, and I don't want to say the sky's the limit because it's cliche, but his ceiling is extremely high right now.
Wherever the ceiling is, he can still jump through it. He's got that kind of athleticism. JB talked after the game about Miles and how it wasn't a sure thing because his stat lines had been spectacular. His percentages, his shooting efficiency had been spectacular, but always in a relief role. And so coming back into the starting lineup, there certainly had to be some questions about whether or not he could continue that rate of success. And the answer, at least individually, has been a resounding yes.
Well, he's continued to impact the team, you know, and I was worried about it. I didn't know how it would look, but he deserves, you know, to be in that group right now. He's earned it. He's brought that first unit energy, and he has sustained it. You know, his efficiency has been there, his playmaking, his defense, and having Cody Martin and Miles, their energy to start the game is going to be really important for us to get off to good starts. That energy out of those two is going to be really important for us moving forward. So, you know, I think both guys feed off each other on the defensive end, on the board, and in transition. And I think back to Rick's question about Biz, you know, I hate losing some of that, what Cody Martin brings to us off the bench or what Miles brought to us. Biz brings more energy defensively for us right now. You know, I think having that jolt off the bench defensively, it may not be as much offensively, but there's a bounce we get in our energy, especially on the defensive end when Biz enters the game. So I think that's part of the reasoning behind Biz as well here. I think, you know, he gave us some jolt there. And that's something that Miles has given us off the bench as well over, you know, over the course of the season. But I think Miles has handled himself well in the starting unit. And I think tonight was a very good example of that.
I don't think there's any question when Gordon Hayward gets healthy, he's going to start. And I think it's very unlikely when LaMelo returns that he is kept out of the starting lineup. So some people are going to have to sit down and go to a different role. I think the great thing about Miles Bridges, he has demonstrated clearly he can do both. And we've said it several times in the last couple of podcasts, starting matters less than finishing. And what Miles Bridges has put together is a resume that says he should be finishing most, if not all, games, depending, of course, upon the situation. If you got someone who's just red hot and Miles is not, maybe you alter that a little bit game to game. But more often than not, I think Miles Bridges is going to be in that finishing unit. And he just keeps coming up, making plays, 25 points, 10 rebounds, big double-double, helping all the fans to half-price pizza, courtesy of Domino's, today.
Get it while it's hot, no pun intended. But it's nice to have options. It's obviously nice to have options, and that's what James Borrego is going to have when Gordon Hayward gets healthy and when a lot of these players get healthy. So I almost liken this stretch that Miles is on almost to maybe LaMelo Ball. Because LaMelo Ball, it was just a matter of time that he was going to start. It's just how it was. Miles is almost getting to that point. Maybe not this season, but definitely probably next season. I would not be surprised to see him in a starting role. But the fact that you're able to have a guy like PJ Washington that can shift and play so many different positions, especially in the front court, I think that's going to go a long way to having James Borrego figure out what exact lineup he wants on any given night. If he wants to play small, he can have PJ go to that five spot. He can have Gordon Hayward at the three. When he comes back and is healthy, he can have Miles Bridges at the four. Or he can slot out PJ, and he can maybe even put PJ back to the four and put in a guy like Cody Zeller or Bismack Biyombo at the five if he wants to play a little bit bigger. There are a ton of options on this team when everybody is healthy, and that's what gets me really excited.
Yeah, options are a big key. And look, overall in the season, this has been a great run for Miles Bridges, but again, I think the numbers have been pretty consistent on like a per-minute basis starting or coming off the bench. Miles and PJ play almost identical minutes on average over the course of the year. They're basically, you know, within a half point of each other for points per game. Same for rebounds. The only stat that I think there's a big difference between the two is defensively. The shot blocking, there's just a huge edge, as well as in steals for PJ. He's the longer athlete. And so especially if you're going to go small, I think there's a lot of advantages to having PJ. But the explosiveness that Miles Bridges brings on a nightly basis, whether it's in the starting lineup or it's coming off the bench, it's needed. And the Hornets will certainly lean on him moving forward down this home stretch. 13 games now left in the regular season. Hornets' magic number sitting at 10, trying to make it back to the postseason for the first time since 2016. We're going to call that a podcast because we've got an early one to post tomorrow. There'll be a Daylight Delight Sunday matinee against the Boston Celtics. We'll have our preview podcast for you tomorrow. And then, of course, we'll have the call of the game starting with the tip at 1 p.m. Pregame show starts on our flagship station, Sports Radio WFNZ, at noon. Thanks to Rob Longo for another fine podcast. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. And our congrats again to Brandy Long, her product, the Jurse, winner of the first ever Innovation Summit. For more information on both her company as well as the overall competition and all of the great innovators and entrepreneurs we have here in the Queen City, please go to Hornets.com to learn more. That's going to do it for everyone here. I'm Sam Farber saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you with us today on the HHC. And in the words of LaMelo Ball,
thank y'all. Have a good day. Wear your mask.
Thanks for listening to the Hornets Hivecast. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.